Hey, thanks so much for taking the time to listen to this podcast from Vital Point Church. My name is Ron. I'm the pastor here at Vital Point. We believe that it's important for people to explore and grow in their faith. And my hope, my prayer is that this message that you're listening to will draw you closer to better understanding how you can live out your faith journey in the everyday life. Sit back and enjoy. If we've never met, my name is Ron, and I'm the pastor here at Vital Point Church, and I want you to know that we are passionate about pointing people to Jesus, and we believe that he's vital to your life. And if you've never met him, our prayer and hope is today that you will meet him for the first time. I'm going to pray just before we start. God, we pray. I come before you right now as we step into this moment, as we listen to this message. God, we surrender it to you. I recognize this morning that there are some who this is their first time maybe in church in a long time or ever. And we've been singing these words and these truths, and for some of us, it's just not dialing in yet, and we acknowledge that. We also acknowledge that you desire to have a relationship with us through the person of Jesus Christ. And so I pray, Father, for every single one of us, no matter where we are in our faith journey, that we would encounter you today fresh and anew. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If this is your first time at Vital Point Church, I am super excited that you're here today. If this is your church, I'm excited you're here as well. And we hope that you will make Vital Point Church a regular part of your life. I'm not going to hide that. I would love for you to be part of this community. And we believe that in order for someone to begin to have the answers to their questions, it comes from a community. When someone wants to dig the roots of their faith deeper, it comes from community. A phrase that we use around here a lot is, logs burn brighter together. And so if you are interested in more about what this church is about, I hope that you will come back and be part of the regular Sunday gatherings. I want to welcome those of you online. I know Kath already welcomed you, our host this morning, but I want to welcome you as well. Thank you so much for taking the time to be online. And I checked just before I got up here, and there is a lot of you watching, and so we appreciate it so much. If you are new, we hope that you will maybe check out one of our locations, either here in Poplar Hill, Exeter, or maybe you're not ready for that yet and you live farther away. We are starting one in Clinton, a site in Clinton this coming fall. And we just hope that you'll take advantage of that if you're looking for a church or want a church in your life. And so we'd love for you to be part of that. All right, I'm going to jump right in and tell you where I'm going today in this Easter Sunday message. I may as well just tell you right up front to get out of the way. We're going to talk about the empty tomb. Surprise. I know. You're like, wow, that's a good one, Ron. Thank you. Well, we're going to talk about the empty tomb. We're going to talk about the point of the empty tomb. We're going to talk about the purpose of the empty tomb. And then I'm going to propose a question about the empty tomb at the very end. So if you pick that up, there was four P's in there. And I'm sure that you are catching on with that. Actually, it's only three. Some of you are like, one, I only heard three. It is only three. So the point, the purpose, and propose a question. I'm going to jump in and read for you Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. And we're going to dive in. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living amongst the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb. They told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary and the mother of James and the other woman with them whom told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen clothes by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. The purpose. If you were to take any time to study the life of Jesus, you would actually have to pick up a Bible and look at the first four books of what we call the New Testament. There's four books called Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you would be able to read about the life of Jesus. you would be able to fit the pieces together and get a bigger, fuller picture, because each one of them described Jesus from a different angle. It's kind of like a police officer that needs to get witness statements to fill in the bigger picture of what had happened. When Jesus began to teach and when he began to live out his life, he spent about 3 years doing this, and he gained thousands and thousands of people. The crowds would follow him. People saw and experienced things that captured their imaginations, that drew them in. They wanted to be near Jesus. They wanted to know more about who he was. They were drawn into the things that he did, the illustrations that he gave. He would heal a person that couldn't see. He would spit in the mud and he would take he'd spit in the dirt and make mud and put it on his eyes. He would turn water into wine at a wedding celebration, and it wasn't a $9.95 bottle. It was from the vintage section. He would raise his friend Lazarus from the dead. He would spend time with the overlooked. He would dine with the thieves. He would even feed thousands of people with a few loaves of bread and a few fish, and he'd had leftovers. All throughout Jesus' life, you would see that people were taken by him, drawn to him, and matter of fact, some of them even worked their way into the inner circle of Jesus' life, which were called disciples. They dropped everything and followed him. What's critical to the point and what we need to understand about the empty tomb, Jesus came to do all these things to reveal that something new was about to happen. Well, we need to understand in this moment that we look at the life of Jesus and many more of these moments from his life is that he came to reveal a kingdom that was not of this world. All the things that Jesus did were like signposts pointing to the reality of a kingdom, and the kingdom was the kingdom of heaven, or otherwise known as the kingdom of God. You might ask yourself, well, what is that kingdom? Well, the kingdom is basically the place where God rules and reigns. And Jesus came to reveal that kingdom. Now, Jesus, when he arrived and he started to do all these things, you need to understand some of the context. Culturally and society was filled with lots of confusion and there was uncertainty. At times, people weren't sure what was true, what was not, what was right, what was wrong. You were left to your own imagination to define your own truth. Individuals were caught up in systems of power that dictated with information that misled them. When you were wronged in the context in which Jesus was ministering in and teaching in, you retaliated, you held grudges, you didn't forgive someone who hurt you. The world was filled with confusion and manipulation. There was power at work, both politically and religiously, that were only seeking their own best interest, not the interest of others. See, when Jesus stepped in, he was beginning to reveal that the system in which he stepped into was out of sync. The world was not the way it was intended to be. You can actually look at this from a lens of saying the world was under what we call an old creation system that needed to be corrected and it needed to be replaced. See, the old creation was driven by sin. And sin created a massive gap between the way God desired things to be and the way things were. See, when you remove God from the picture, humans, left to themselves, create a mess in what we call the gap. It's the gap in which we make a mess of things. It's where we have relational division. It's where we create more pain and sorrow and where we make poor choices at times. It's in the gap where we abuse one another and we marginalize some. It's in the gap where we experience racial division and where war happens. It's in the gap where we think we can use material things to satisfy the internal longings of our lives. It's in the gap where we reduce our choices to animalistic desires by devaluing others. Because there's children in the room and young teenagers, adults, you can read between the lines on that last statement. It has to do with sex. Just in case you're wondering. As Jesus lived and taught, I'm not sure why I just did that. stick around long enough and you'll understand, discover that Ron does things that he doesn't know why. Jesus lived and taught about the unseen reality of a kingdom, and people were drawn to it. People could sense it. People could realize it because they looked at the gap in their own lives. They recognized that there was a massive gap. They recognized that left to themselves, they would make a mess of things and things would be so confusing. See, when we're left to ourselves, that's what happens to us. So Jesus is on the scene, right? He's teaching and he's preaching and he's doing miracles and he's healing and he's doing these crazy things. And people are all drawn to him. And then all of a sudden, it came to a screeching halt. All of a sudden, we find Jesus on a trial. We find him in a trial, and then next thing you know, he's being scourged, he's being whipped. If you were here on Friday or you watched Friday online, you know that that moment was so grotesque. He was nailed to a cross and he was placed in a tomb. All that Jesus was talking about, it seemed like it was all gone. The disciples, the followers, the core group, they're left abandoned. They're like, what do we do? Some would go back to what was familiar to them. Others were filled with doubt and question. The remnant of the disciples, they're in complete shock. They cannot believe what has happened. They're traumatized. They're traumatized to the point where they can't even remember that Jesus told them that he would be crucified 3 days later. The angel said, don't you remember? The trauma was so deep. But thankfully, the women stepped up. Thankfully, the women stepped up. The women disciples step up to the plate. And they go to the tomb. They go to the place where they know Jesus is buried, and they're going to prepare his body. And as they approach, they look up and they see that the stone has been rolled away. They see that the stone is gone. They've been wondering how they're going to get in. And as they approach, the angel says to them, "Why do you seek the living amongst the dead? He is not here, but has risen." A lion that has changed history. He's not here, but he has risen. The fact that the women went to the tomb proves that Jesus actually died. You know, some would say, well, maybe he didn't die. Well, you wouldn't put someone who's partially alive in a tomb. The executioners were professional. They made sure that their job was well done. And so the body was placed in a tomb. Now, we don't see this here in the section that I read for you, but we see that Jesus even walked with some of his disciples and interacted with some of his disciples, so it gave evidence and proof that he was alive. Nobody was hiding his body. He walked with his followers. It's an incredible moment. And we must ask ourselves, well, what does this mean? What is happening here? Why are these words so important? What's the point? See, Jesus rising from the dead was him crashing in on the old creation, saying, you no longer have dominion and power, and my reign has burst into this old system to create a new thing. God's kingdom was launched into the old creation, breaking the power of sin and death. The moment that Jesus stepped across the threshold on that first Sunday morning into the morning sunlight was God saying, I'm back. It's about him saying, I have taken care of the sin and the death issue, the two things that decay our world and separate us from God. These two things that work in direct opposition to God. See, we must understand the news of the empty tomb is not simply just about an eternal home that one goes to who puts their faith and trust in Jesus. That is true. Absolutely. The last book in the Bible called Revelation makes that very clear. Jesus is going to come back and he's going to set up his final kingdom in the new creation. But we also get to get a picture of the point of the empty tomb. N.T. Wright, he's a modern day theologian, says this, the power that tyrannized the old creation has been broken, defeated, overthrown. God's kingdom is now launched, and launched in power and glory on earth as it is in heaven. So all that Jesus taught pointed to the reality of this new kingdom. The empty tomb and Jesus walking out is evidence of the new creation arriving. See, before we understand the purpose of all this, we must understand the bigger picture of the empty tomb. That God was stepping in, that God was bringing, he was revealing this new creation was now let loose so that the broken can be mended, so that the broken by sin can be healed and restored, so that human beings can be made right with God. We need this message more than ever. Have you felt that? My hunch is that you've sensed that there's something off right now. And I'm not talking in a conspiracy way. I'm just saying, you sense there's something not right. Deep down, You sense the confusion. You feel like things are upside down in our world because every day we see the old creation at work, the old creation system. We see it in our news. We see the woke left and the radical right duking it out right in front of us, right? We see social media. We see the depravity of human beings as we rip each other to shreds in our social media. We see it in our lunchrooms, our classrooms, our policies, and our politics. We're embracing things that are driving us farther and farther away from the way God intended things to be. The old creation is lurking in behind the scenes, but yet now it feels like it's in our faces. We wonder what to do. We scratch our heads. We wonder, how do we step into these moments? How do we live? How do we act? We're for fear of being canceled, right? For fear of being unfriended, lose followers. To be clear, I can't expect the world system under the old creation to align with the way God wants things to be. Old creation is hell-bent on keeping us slaves to it. The old creation doesn't want us to have the freedom that the empty tomb offers. See, as we consider the empty tomb, we must understand that God used death to break the power of death when he rose again, when he walked out of that tomb. The very thing that Satan has at his fingertips is death, and Jesus walked out of the tomb. When Jesus died, the enemy was like, yes, finally. And when Jesus walked out of the tomb, he went, uh-oh. See, the point is, Jesus launched his new creation by walking out of the tomb, which means this. You ready? Hope you are. That the kingdom of God is now accessible to you and me. And that we can be part of the new creation due to the fact that Jesus stood in the gap, providing a way for us to live out in this new creation in relationship with him. See, Good Friday was Jesus paying for sin on the cross. Like he nailed it. Like nailed it. Legit. Nailed it. Resurrection Sunday opens up the door for you and me to be born again into this new creation and to be brought back to life. See, the purpose is to invite us into the new creation through Jesus. See, the empty tomb means two critical things for us when we think about the purpose. First one is freedom, and the second one is victory. Freedom from the power of the gap, the place that's driven by self and sin. That's freedom that's offered to us. To then live in the process of the victory that is ours, becoming the new creation that Jesus sees us to be. See, Jesus rose from the dead in order that we could be brought back to life from being spiritually dead. The Christian faith is about death to life, darkness to light. It's about living from a different place. This past year, the MVP of the Super Bowl was interviewed, and I didn't bother looking it up because it doesn't matter. I can't remember his name. I can't even remember the team that won, for that matter. It wasn't the Leafs, so I don't know. I guess the Leafs don't play football, do they? The MVP said this. He shared his story at the end, being interviewed when he received the award for MVP. He said 2 years prior, he walked off the field in a loss in the Super Bowl game. And God had given him a vision. And if you're not familiar with this, sometimes God does this. He gives us a picture or a nudge or an image or a vision. And the vision was that he won the Super Bowl and that he also got the MVP. And he didn't tell anybody, which is smart. You just keep that stuff to yourself, right? And he told his wife. And then in the interview, he said, I did not play for victory. I played from a place of victory. Think about the difference of that. He played different because he played from a place of victory. You live different when you live from a place of victory. You cannot get any clearer on what the Christian faith looks like. See, life inside the realm of God's new kingdom, here and now, is not done in the strength of our own selves. It's not in the assurance of who you are because you did good and you became a better person. No, it is the assurance that Jesus walked out of that tomb. And then he walks with us as we learn what it means to live from a place of victory and freedom. See, too often we don't live from that place of victory and freedom, do we? I mean, think about your life right now. many of us live from a place of what other people have said about us. Some of us live from a place of brokenness and shame from a past that very few people know about. We might even live from a place of what we tell ourselves about ourselves. I'll be transparent with you. This is a bit of a risk because I know you could use it against me. But sometimes I live from a place of insecurity that is so deep and dark that it holds me back. I sometimes struggle with my insecurities of not being smart enough, not being educated enough. I still can't believe I get to stand in front of people and talk about the Bible. I'm like, are you kidding me? And then I start chirping myself, my insecurities, and they creep in. For some of us, it's fear. It's the unhealthy fear that diminishes the work of God in our lives. I look at the last 2 years and I realize that fear has been a tool that's been used against us often. See, the enemy's primary use of holding us back from entering into the new creation is fear. And I don't have time to get into good fear and bad fear, but it's understanding that fear literally cripples us from living in the freedom and the victory. Earlier this year, as a church, we kicked off 2022. We were super careful because a few years ago, we kicked off with a big bang and then everything went to you know where. So I downplayed it a little bit this year, going into 2022. But we actually didn't. We actually raised the bar. I did a talk called Abundantly More. It comes from an Ephesians chapter 3. It's a New Testament book written by this guy named Paul. And he talks about God doing more than we could ever imagine or dream. And he talks about the power that works within us. And we talked about it from a perspective of that it's not, you know, like a get-rich-quick scheme or a prosperity faith. It wasn't like that. It was more of a faith living with an expectation that God wants to do more in us and through us. But that comes from relationship with Jesus as he offers us freedom and victory in our lives. See, when we examine this Easter weekend, when Jesus died, we can see a number of core things that are absolutely essential. First is the death, Friday. We could not have today without Friday. We needed Friday. We needed Friday for someone to step in on our behalf to pay our sin debt that we could not pay. The one who would ransom our sin with his own blood. He did this for us. He took our place. He took your place. A holy, just God demands payment for the injustice, and he paid for it. Actually, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, it says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to self and live to righteousness. By his wounds, we are healed. Our healing comes from Jesus. Our transgressions, our iniquities, our sin comes from him. The second is the resurrection. That message, he is not here, but has risen, is the news we all need to hear. Because if that didn't happen, there would be no authority and power and freedom and victory. Actually, there's a guy named Paul that I mentioned earlier. He wrote another letter called Corinthians. He said this, and if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. That word vain is useless. It would be in vain. So what? To put it in context, we could all just go home and have our Easter egg hunts and get it over with. Because this would be for no reason today. And then he says this, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Futile means without results or success. He literally means that it would be void, empty, lacking any power. But because there's an empty tomb, we have the validation of faith. We have the credibility of faith because of the empty tomb that is offered to us. See, the point is this. The point is a new creation has come through Jesus. The purpose is to invite you and me to be part of that new creation so that one day we can be part of his full expression of his kingdom when he returns to set it up. So I propose a question. This is my third P. Propose a question. I had to come up with a third P. It's a preacher thing, okay? My question is this. Will you today place your faith in the one who rose from the dead? Will you put your faith and trust in him? Will you trust he is the one who said he is, that he is God with us? There's a guy named Peter that was transformed by the news, the good news of the resurrected Jesus. He said this in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. And there is salvation in no one else. And there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Peter's words. He'd been impacted by the resurrected Jesus. And then there's this guy named Paul. He had a supernatural experience with Jesus. Jesus showed up and visited him. And he wrote these, "For there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is a testimony given at the proper time." And then there's Jesus himself. "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." What you need to know about these three verses is they're most controversial verses in the Bible for a lot of people, because those statements don't seem inclusive enough. We've raised inclusion so high, and we look at these and we go, "Oh, these make me feel uncomfortable." Well, I want to present it to you like this. If I were to send you to my house after the service, and I said to you, "You can have access to everything in my house," I would say, "You know, have at it. You can have, you know, here's the key. Here's the key to my house. You can eat my food. You can wear my clothes." Okay, we'll draw the line there. You can't have the clothes. Sorry. I'm kidding. You can have everything. You can sit in my hot tub even if you want. And I say, "Here's the key." You would say, "Thanks, Ron." And you take my key and you go home and you put it in the door and you unlock and you go in. The dog's fed at 5 o'clock, just so you know, so you can take care of that too. No one's going to look at me and say, "Ron, I've got my own keys. Just let me use my keys." I'd be like, "Okay, you can if you want, but you're not getting in my house." See, this is what happens with the truth of Jesus. We don't often feel comfortable with the fact that we say he's the only name, he's the only way, he's the only truth, but he's the key. He's the key to access the presence of God. He's the key to the kingdom of God that Jesus revealed when he walked out of the tomb. Death was defeated. Your sin was paid for. It was all left behind when he walked out of the tomb. Jesus is the key to the eternal kingdom. So the offer's on the table. Offer's on the table today. We've been praying for you. You don't know it, but we have. We as a church have spent all week praying for you. And maybe this is your first time hearing these truths, first time even having an understanding of what Easter is about. And we've been praying that some of you today would respond to the question, will you put your faith in Jesus? Some people ask me, "Ron, how do I do this? Like, how do I actually follow through on this?" You feel inside of you, your heart's racing a little bit, your mind is spinning, you're like, oh, okay, this is what Easter's about. I say to people, it's very simple. It's Jesus, I need you. I need you. And when you say those words, what ends up happening is you enter into relationship with him, the risen Savior. And he comes in, and he dwells within you, and he seals you, and he empowers you by his Spirit so that the new creation can begin, so that the old can be gone and the new can begin, so that the old no longer has that pull on you like it does right now, and that you can move towards a new creation that he has created in you through the person of Jesus. This is the power of Easter. This is the point, the purpose to Easter is to have us with him. That is the depth of his love that he has for each and every one of us. So as you think about this question, this proposed question, and I say to you, it's as simple as saying, "Jesus, I need you." I want you to think about this as we close our service with this song. I recognize that even as we had this conversation this morning and experienced this incredible Sunday, Easter Sunday, that there's some of us that are maybe carrying some doubts about this truth. Doubts that there was an actual risen Jesus. I want you to think about this. The doubts that you have, it's okay to have them, but you need to understand that many of those early disciples lost their lives because of the empty tomb. If it was a hoax, they would have went, "Surprise, here's the body." But they didn't. They stood firm on the truth of Jesus rising on the third day. Maybe you have lots of questions. Maybe you have more questions now. I want you to understand that it's possible that you will not have the answers to the questions until you take that step of faith and trust in the things that we've been talking about. Because I'm convinced that when we take that step of faith and Jesus enters into our lives, that we have access to God who will reveal the answers to the questions that we have. And so today, as you leave this place, we hope and we pray that you will make that decision and you'll say, Jesus, I need you. I don't know exactly what that means. It's going to take me a while to figure that out. I could say join the club. Many of us are still trying to sort out what that looks like in our lives. We're trying to learn the process of the freedom and the victory. But this I do know. Do not do this alone. Find a community that you can do this with. If it's Vital Point, awesome. I'd love for you to be here. But if it's somewhere closer or somewhere near where you live, you're watching from afar, dial in. Because the reality is the depth of our faith will be determined by the amount of connection we have. You cannot do it on your own. I feel like I need to say this. There's a common thought out there right now amongst people that are believing that faith can be done at home watching a screen. And I recognize that some just can't physically get to facilities and buildings. I get all that. And I'm not saying that God can't even work through the screen, because we've seen that for 2 years. But I want you to know that it's critical for you to be in proximity with others so that you can learn and grow and develop and be encouraged and strengthened, and so that you can discover what it means to live this out in your life. Don't believe the lie that being at home is good enough to watch church. It's not. Step into that moment. Today, if you have said that prayer, Jesus, I need you, that's just the first conversation that you're going to have. You're going to have many more. And the next step for you, just to put it there in front of you, since we've been point blunt today about all kinds of things, is that next step for you would be baptism. It's that public declaration. It's that stepping in to the water of baptism and identifying publicly that you're a follower of Jesus. We're doing a baptism at the end of June. We do it here on the property outside. Last year, we baptized 18 people. We're praying for more this year. And if that's you, you can just let us know and we'll walk with you and help you with that. The tomb is empty. Lives are being changed and transformed because of Jesus. He'll walk with you. He'll guide you. And he'll help you learn what it means to follow him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this time together. I know that there's some here this morning that were a little bit ambushed by this truth. Some of them are right now just feeling the tension. Others, God, I know have wandered away from their walk with Jesus and are sensing a need to come back. What is so beautiful, Father, you revealed to us that when we return to you, all of heaven celebrates. All of heaven throws a party. So, Father, today, may we be the excuse for a party in heaven. Continue to work in us. Continue to plant these truths deep within us and allow them to grow and flourish and to become vibrant. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being here today. Next week, we start a brand new series called Church 3.0. We're going to talk about what the church looks like moving into the future. Thanks for being here today.